Chapter 59. Whitney Horgan found Lloyd in his room, lying on the big round bed he had most recently shared with Dana Jurgens. There was a large gin and tonic balanced on his bare chest. He was staring solemnly up at his reflection in the overhead mirror.
"Come on in," he said when he saw Whitney. "Don't stand on ceremony, for Christ's sake. Don't bother to knock, bastard."
It came out bastard. "You drunk, Lloyd?" Whitney asked cautiously.
"Nope, not yet, but I'm getting there."
"Is he here?"
"Who, fearless leader?" Lloyd sat up. "He's around someplace. The Midnight Rambler."
He laughed and lay back down. Whitney said in a low voice, "You want to watch what you're saying. You know it's not a good idea to hit the hard stuff when he's..."
"Fuck it.
Remember what happened to Heck Drogan and Strellerton?" Lloyd nodded.
"You're right. The walls have ears. The fucking walls have ears. You ever hear that saying?"
"Yeah, once or twice. It's a true saying around here, Lloyd."
"You bet."
Lloyd suddenly sat up and threw his drink across the room. The glass shattered.
"There's one for the sweeper, right, Whitney?"
"You okay, Lloyd?"
"I'm all right. You want a gin and tonic?"
Whitney hesitated for a moment.
"No, I don't like them without the lime." "I got lime. Comes out of a little squeeze bottle."
Lloyd went over to the bar and held up a plastic real lime.
"Looks just like the green giant's left testicle. Funny, huh?"
"Does it taste like lime?"
"Sure," Lloyd said morosely. "What do you say? Be a man and have a drink with me."
"Yeah, okay.
We'll have them by the window and take in the view."
"No," Whitney said, harshly and abruptly. Lloyd paused on his way to the bar, his face suddenly paling. He looked toward Whitney, and for a moment their eyes met.
"Yeah, okay," Lloyd said. "Sorry, man, poor taste."
"That's okay." But it wasn't okay, and both of them knew it. The woman Flagg had introduced as his bride had taken a high dive the day before. Lloyd remembered Ace High saying that Dana couldn't jump from the balcony because the windows didn't open. But the penthouse had a sun deck. Guess they must have thought none of the real high rollers, Arabs most of them, would ever take the dive. A lot they knew. He fixed Whitney a gin and tonic, and they sat and drank in silence for a while. Outside, the sun was going down in a red glare. At last, Whitney said, in a voice almost too low to be heard, "Do you really think she dived?" Lloyd shrugged.
"What does it matter? Sure, I think she dived. You ready?"
Whitney looked at his glass and saw with some surprise that he was indeed ready. He handed it to Lloyd, who took it over to the bar. Lloyd was pouring the gin freehand, and Whitney had a nice buzz on. Again they drank in silence for a while, watching the sun go down.
"What do you hear about that guy Cullen?" Whitney asked finally.
"Nothing. I don't hear nothing. Barry don't hear nothing. Nothing from Route 40, from Route 30, from Route 2 and 74 and I-15. Nothing from the back roads. They're all covered and they're all nothing. He's out in the desert someplace. And if he keeps moving at night and if he can figure out how to keep moving east, he's going to slip through.
What does it matter, anyhow? What can he tell them?"
"I don't know."
"No, I don't know either. Let him go, that's what I say."
Whitney felt uncomfortable. Lloyd was getting perilously close to criticizing the boss again. His buzz on was stronger, and he was glad. Maybe soon he would find the nerve to say what he had come here to say.
"I tell you something," Lloyd said, leaning forward. "He's losing his stuff. You ever hear that fucking saying? It's the eighth inning and he's losing his stuff and there's no fucking buddy warming up in the bullpen."
"Lloyd, you ready?"
"Sure, I guess so."
Lloyd made them new drinks. He handed one to Whitney, and a little shiver went through him as he sipped. It was almost raw gin.
"Losing his stuff,"
Lloyd said, returning to his text. First Dana, then this guy Cullen. His own wife, if that's what she was, goes and takes a dive. Do you think that was in his game plan? We shouldn't be talking about it. And Trash Can Man. Look what that guy did all by himself. With friends like that, who needs enemies? That's what I'd like to know. Lloyd was shaking his head. I don't understand it at all. Everything was going so good, right up to the night he came and said the old lady was dead over there in the free zone. He said the last obstacle was out of our way. But that's when things started to get funny. Now I just don't know. We can take him by land assault next spring, I guess. We sure as shit can't go before then. But by next spring, God knows what they might have rigged up over there, you know? We were going to hit them before they could think up any funny surprises, and now we can't. Plus, holy God on his throne, there's Trashy to think about. He's out there in the desert ramming around someplace, and I sure as hell... Lloyd, Whitney said in a low, choked voice, listen to me. Lloyd leaned forward, concerned. What? What's the trouble? I didn't even know if I'd have the guts to ask you, Whitney said. He was squeezing his glass compulsively. Me and Ace High and Ronnie Sykes and Jenny Engstrom, we're cutting loose. You want to come? Christ, I must be crazy telling you this with you so close to him. Cutting loose? Where are you going? South America, I guess. Brazil. That ought to be just about far enough. He paused, struggling, then plunged on. A lot of people have been leaving. Well, maybe not a lot, but quite a few, and there's more every day. They don't think Flag can cut it. Some are going north up to Canada. That's too friggin' cold for me. But I gotta get out. I'd go east if I thought they'd have me, and if I was sure we could get through. Whitney stopped abruptly and looked at Lloyd miserably. It was the face of a man who thinks he has gone much too far. You're all right, Lloyd said softly. I ain't gonna blow the whistle on you. It's all gone bad here, Whitney said miserably. When you plan to go? Lloyd asked him. Whitney looked at him with narrow suspicion. Oh, forget I asked, Lloyd said. You ready? Not yet, Whitney said, looking into his glass. I am. He went to the bar. With his back to Whitney, he said, I couldn't. I owe him something. I owe him a lot. He got me out of a bad jam back in Phoenix, but it's more than that. He's done something to me, made me brighter or something. I don't know what it is, but I ain't the same man I was, Whitney. Nothing like. Before him, I was nothing but a minor leaguer. Now he's got me running things here, and I do okay. It seems like I think better. Yeah, he's made me brighter. Lloyd lifted the flawed stone from his chest, looked at it briefly, then dropped it again. He wiped his hand against his pants as though it had touched something nasty. I know I ain't no genius now. I have to write everything I'm supposed to do in a notebook or I forget it. But with him behind me, I can give orders, and most time things turn out right. Before, all I could do was take orders and get in jams. I've changed, and he changed me. I've been with him since the start. It seems longer than it really is. Sometimes it seems like forever, you know. When we got to Vegas, there were 16 people here. Ronnie was one of them, so was Jenny and poor old Heck Drogan. They were waiting for him. When we got into town, Jenny Engstrom got down on those pretty knees of hers and kissed his boots. I bet she never told you that in bed. He smiled crookedly at Whitney. Now she wants to cut and run. Well, I don't blame her, or you either. But it sure doesn't take much to sour a good operation, does it? You're going to stick? I owe him that. He didn't add that he still had enough faith in the dark man to believe that Whitney and the others would end up riding cross trees, more likely than not. And there was something else. Here he was Flagg's second in command. What could he be in Brazil? Why, Whitney and Ronnie were both brighter than he was. He and Ace High would end up low chickens. And that wasn't to Lloyd's taste. Once he wouldn't have minded, but things had changed. And when your head changed, he was finding out,
It most always changed forever. Well, it might work out for all of us, Whitney said lamely.
Sure, Lloyd said, and thought, but I wouldn't want to be walking in your shoes if it comes out right for Flag after all. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes when he finally has time to notice you down there in Brazil. Riding a cross tree might be the least of your worries then.
Lloyd raised his glass. A toast, Whitney. Whitney raised his own glass. Nobody gets hurt, Lloyd said. That's my toast. Nobody gets hurt.
Man, I'll drink to that, Whitney said, and they both did.
Whitney left soon after. Lloyd kept on drinking. He passed out around 9:30 and slept soddenly on the round bed. There were no dreams, and that was almost worth the price of the next day's hangover.
When the sun rose on the morning of September 17th, Tom Cullen made his camp a little north of Gunlock, Utah. It was cold enough for him to be able to see his breath puffing out in front of him. His ears were numb and cold, but he felt good. He had passed quite close to a rutted, bad road the night before, and he had seen three men gathered around a small, spluttering campfire. All three had guns. Trying to ease past them through a tangled field of boulders, he was now on the western edge of the Utah Badlands, he had sent a small spatter of pebbles rolling and tumbling into a dry wash. Tom froze. Warm wee-wee spilled down his legs, but he wasn't even aware that he'd done it in his pants like a little baby until an hour or so later. All three of the men turned around, two of them bringing their weapons up to port arms. Tom's cover was thin, barely adequate. He was a shadow among shadows. The moon was behind a reef of clouds. If it chose this moment to come out... One of them relaxed.
It's a deer, he said. They're all over the place.
I think we should investigate, another one had said.
Put your thumb up your asshole and investigate that, the third replied. And that was the end of it.
They sat by the fire again, and Tom began to creep along, feeling for each step, watching as their campfire receded with agonizing slowness. An hour, and it was only a spark on the slope below him. Finally it was gone, and a great weight seemed to slip off his shoulders. He began to feel safe. He was still in the West, and he knew enough to still be careful. Laws, yes. But the danger no longer seemed as thick, as if there were Indians or outlaws all around. And now, with the sun coming up, he rolled into a tight ball in a low thicket of bushes and prepared to go to sleep. Got to get me some blankets, he thought. It's getting cold. Then sleep took him, suddenly and completely, as it always did. He dreamed of Nick.